heard the call to build your small business? Make it happen with a .net domain name, the place for dreamers for 30 years and counting. Visit keepdreamingup.net for tips and advice, whether you're just getting started or looking to grow. That's keepdreamingup.net.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, that's better. Welcome to the Locked On Clippers podcast, brought to you by SeatGeek. I'm your host, DJ Foster. For tonight's show, we're going to recap the Clippers' 104-98 victory over Toronto in the second preseason game of the year, and we'll hand out some grades. Lots of things to talk about tonight. There's actually quite a bit revealed, post-game quotes, and kind of a lot of takeaways from this game, but we're going to hand out some grades. We'll get to notes. We'll also have the Ralph Lawler quote of the night, a new feature we're going to have on every game night, because Ralph always has something golden. So we'll have that to close up the show. We're going to start out here by handing out grades for each player. If you missed the game tonight, J.J. Redick, Paul Pierce, Luke Richard, and Mba Moute, all three players sat out. Coach's decision, or just rest nights for them. Again, this is a back-to-back, second half of a back-to-back for the Clippers in preseason, so they don't want to take any chances. Interesting enough, one starter ended up playing an absurd amount of minutes for it being the second half of a back-to-back, but we'll get to him later. Let's start with the grades. We're going to start with Chris Paul. Got his first field goal of the preseason. Took him a little bit. He only had one tonight. It was 1-for-4, hit a three-pointer. But every other area of the game, he absolutely dominated. Paul had 15 assists in 27 minutes, three steals. He was extra handsy tonight. Five turnovers, a little uncharacteristic for him, but Chris Paul was making plays all over the court. He had a great night. I'm going to give him a B+, just because the scoring wasn't there, but everything else was. Man, some of the decisions he made on the fast break were incredible. There was a play where Clippers had a sort of a two-on-two situation, and he did the thing where he puts defenders on his back. He sticks his butt out and slows down and just puts them on his back and completely eliminated Norman Powell out of the play for an easy conversion. Just little stuff like that you grow to appreciate from watching Chris Paul over the years. Like, how many point guards in that situation would take the time to slow down, move a player out of the way, and then continue on with a two-on-one fast break? He's just never in a hurry, and always so smart with the way he uses his body. So Chris Paul, you get a B+. Pretty good. If you would have scored a little bit more, could have got an A. That's okay. Don't want to be, a picky parent complaining about a B+. B+s are great. I would have killed for B+s in school. The starting lineup tonight was Chris Paul, Raymond Felton, Austin Rivers, Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan. Doc actually commented on that after the game, saying that that team, that five-man unit, never even like practiced together, let alone played together. But he loved the look of the lineup. He actually said after the game that the extra small lineup, the three-guard lineup of Paul, Felton, and Rivers, gave them the best ball movement that they've had in both preseason and training camp. Then he commented a little bit more, saying he loved how all of them can drive downhill and attack and distribute, and he's right. Clippers, it definitely looked more like a regular season game than the first effort did. The offense wasn't nearly as jumbled. The Clippers were just getting solid action out of easy plays, easy little pick and rolls. DeAndre was getting his dunks again. So even though it was a very unconventional lineup, props to Doc for experimenting. We've been talking about that all summer, how we want to see different lineups. And this honestly could be a lineup that the Clippers will trot out when teams go small against them or they need to close games late. Paul and Felton could end up playing together a little bit more than you might think, just based on, how late in the offseason Raymond Felton was signed, and this could be a lineup that we see. So props to Doc for trotting it out. Good results from it. Clippers didn't lose by 45, so that's good. Again, if you're just deciding to listen now, that's a weird thing. You know how on TV they'll say, like, if you're just tuning in now, I guess that doesn't really work on a podcast. Like, maybe if you weren't listening to me for the first 6 minutes and you're just starting to listen now, the Clippers win 104-98 over Toronto. Before we get to the rest of the grades, I need to tell you about SeatGeek. If you went to the Clippers game tonight and didn't buy your tickets on SeatGeek, you made a mistake, because SeatGeek is the smartest and easiest way to find tickets for all the games you want to see up close and in person this season. Look, there's nothing like being in the arena for the biggest plays of the year, and with SeatGeek, it's never been easier to get the seats you want for a great value. SeatGeek has the best deals on every ticket in the house wherever you want to sit. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone. It's just the easiest way I've found to shop for tickets. I can be anywhere, and with just a few taps, I can instantly find seats for any game, whether it be preseason or the regular season. I can pull it up and get it. If you looked around in the arena tonight, there were lots of great open seats. SeatGeek had some killer deals on them. It's always worth a check, man. If you're not sure you're in the LA area, you don't know if you want to go to the game or not, just look on SeatGeek. I'm sure you'll be very, very pleased with the deals you can get on there, because with SeatGeek, you always get the best deal on every ticket, because SeatGeek price compares for you by searching multiple ticket sites. Prices can vary depending on where you shop, but SeatGeek will always find you the lowest available price. Plus, every ticket you buy on SeatGeek is backed by their 100% guarantee. Best of all, my listeners get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. So if you haven't done this, if you've listened to the podcast, you haven't bought a ticket through SeatGeek yet, you want to save $20, here's all you have to do. To get your $20 rebate on tickets, download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab and click add a promo code, enter the promo code LOCLIPPERS, that's LOCLIPPERS. SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Boom, it's that easy. Download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code LOCLIPPERS today. We gave Chris Paul a B+. Let's move on. Let's talk about Raymond Felton. I'm giving him an A++. Three pluses, in fact. And that may not sit well with some of you. And I was never allowed to give anyone an A+ when I did grades for ESPN Los Angeles back in the day. The Lob City Ledger, I believe it was called. That's a Kevin Arnovitz came up with that. Of course he did, because Kevin Arnovitz comes up with everything that's good in the world. I was never allowed to give guys A+, because that's saying that's the best game they could ever possibly have. But I'm giving Raymond Felton an A++, not for the reason that he had the best game that he can ever have, but because in the second half of a back-to-back in the preseason, Raymond Felton played 36 minutes. 32-year-old Raymond Felton, in the 12th year of his career, when everyone else is playing a modest 20 minutes, went a full 36, and actually helped the Clippers close out the game after the Raptors made a ridiculous 16-0 run. Brady Heslip caught fire, which is a sentence you will only hear in preseason, although I really like Brady Heslip. Quick detour. Danny Chow, who's a writer for The Ringer, tweeted this out about Brady Heslip. Brady Heslip's agent once described him this way. He's a 6'1", 160-pound guard with a science teacher's haircut. But he has Kobe Bryant's jump shot and drive to compete. Oh, okay. That's Brady Heslip. 6'1", 160, science teacher haircut. But the same competitiveness and jump shot as Kobe Bryant. So that's the guy that led the comeback for the Raptors. Raymond Felton was one of the Clippers' veterans to help stop it. Wesley Johnson was also in the game late. To make sure that the Clippers got the win, which is kind of hilarious considering that it's preseason. Well, yeah, Raymond Felton, you get all the great grades, A++, just for being willing to play 36 minutes in the second half of a back-to-back in the second game of preseason. Maybe Doc wants him to play himself in shape. Maybe he just didn't trust any other point guard he has on the roster. Who knows? He's training Raymond Felton now to buy Chris Paul minutes to save Chris Paul's legs, I suppose. And if a guy's not in basketball shape, I guess you play him more basketball than everyone else, and maybe that'll do the trick. So props to Raven Feldon. He played well. Let's move on. Next player in the grades. Let's talk about DeAndre Jordan. DeAndre was 5 for 7. All 5 of his baskets were dunks. He had a ridiculous, as he usually does, one-handed, just alley-oop throwdown off Chris Paul's pass. We're like numb to it, but because I haven't been watching as much basketball lately, because preseason just started, and, you know, there's that long lull in the offseason, man, some of these dunks that DeAndre have are just so unreal, and you get numb to it in the middle of the regular season, and you're like, oh yeah, there's another alley-oop finish. But the coordination and athleticism to go up and catch it with one hand and cock back and just, it's insane. So DeAndre had a huge dunk. All 5 of his baskets were dunks. There was a fun stat during the Golden State game, which, if you haven't erased everything from your memory from that game, I guess you should. You can take this little nugget away, though. DeAndre Jordan had more dunks by himself than 8 other teams last year combined. Like their whole roster. DeAndre Jordan had more dunks than 8 teams. Think about that for a second. One player more dunks than everyone on a roster for 8 different teams. These are guys that are 6'9", 6'10". They got, you know, 7-footers. They got the best athletes in the world. And DeAndre's got more dunks than the entire team. I just love that stat. It's so weird. So, DeAndre, we gave you a B. It was a perfectly DeAndre performance. 4 for 6 from the free throw line. Hey, if you can just keep that up. One thing I do want to mention, and this is always going to be a Ralph Lawler love fest on this podcast, and if you can't get with that, then hit the bricks. But the one thing that drives me crazy with Ralph and Mike sometimes with DeAndre is they just always talk about how he making them in practice, and his form looks great. And anytime he makes one, it's like he's shooting them just like that. And guys, he is what he is as a free throw shooter. He's not all of a sudden going to start shooting 60% from the free throw line. Like, it's just not going to happen. There's nothing that he's changed that's going to make him become this incredible free throw shooter. Even if he's making them in practice or his form looks fantastic, the way that he shoots with his arms completely extended and he just kind of flicks the ball up there with his giant hand, there's nothing about that that makes you think this is the year he jumps 20% in free throw percentage or 10%. You can pretty safely pencil him in to be an under 50% free throw shooter. It's just the way it is. That's why he should shoot granny shot. That's a whole nother podcast, I guess, that we've already done. But yeah, anyway, DeAndre, 14 points, 25 minutes, 10 boards, quickie little double-double. He played well. Austin Rivers was 4 for 9 for 10 points. Had a lot of trouble guarding DeMar DeRozan, which is understandable. DeRozan's a really tough size matchup for him because he's one of the few wings that can actually post and prefer to play in the mid-range and will take those contested 17-foot jumpers at will. DeRozan was really hot tonight, was hitting everything. Austin was charged with covering him for most of his damage. Austin ended up with 5 fouls in 24 minutes because he was on DeRozan. So not a great night for Austin. I'm going to give him a C. It's you know, we've seen a lot of games like this from Austin. He didn't do anything incredible. He made some decent little plays in transition and finishes, but had a rough night on the defensive end just because, again, DeRozan was unreal. Last starter, last but certainly not least, Blake Griffin. Blake, this was a killer night from Blake, and I think it's one that should kind of put the NBA on watch. Now, I know you're not going to do that in a preseason game, the second preseason game of the year. I know that you know, you're going to discount those performances, as we should. We can't say, talk about all the virtues of tonight when we basically said yesterday, throw that game in the trash, it doesn't matter. But Blake, really, the one thing you can take away from this game is that he had no hesitation to shoot a couple of open three-pointers. He was 2 for 3 from behind the line, 24 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, in only 26 minutes. I mean, an incredible game from him all the way around. But the three-pointers is what I'm going to focus on here. Actually, the thing I'm going to focus on most, and I'm kind of burying the lead here, Blake Griffin threw Jamal Crawford's shoe at Corey Joseph and hit him in the face with it. That really happened. I'm hoping it's all over the internet soon. I haven't been able to find it yet. Once I do, it's going to be on my Twitter, at Fox Sports Foster, multiple times, because this was hilarious. Jamal Crawford lost his shoe. Blake Griffin picked it up and looked like he wanted to give it back to Jamal to put it on, sort of on the fly. But his aim was not great. He must not have a lot of practice throwing shoes, because he just nailed Corey Joseph in the face with it, who was covering Jamal. And Corey Joseph threw up his hands and looked to the refs, hoping for some sort of foul. Pretty sure that's a technical foul. No, I don't think you could throw shoes at people. But the refs didn't give him anything. So not only did Corey Joseph get hit in the face from another man's shoe, he also didn't get a foul call for it. Sorry, Corey. You don't get the star treatment. You're a good player, but you don't get the star treatment. Honestly, who throws a shoe, Blake? Who throws a shoe? Ralph, though, being Ralph, was all over it. He said Sven Nader once threw a shoe with the San Diego Clippers and actually hit a shot. So he threw his shoe at a shot attempt and hit the ball, which is incredible. Clearly has much better aim than Blake. And Ralph said, of course Sven did that. Like, we all know that jokester Sven Nader. I love that. I love that. So, but yeah, Blake threw a shoe. That's the main story. But I guess the secondary story is his three-point shooting. Because in the past, the threes that Blake has shot have always been like a last second on the shot clock. Or, oh, well, I guess nothing else is happening. They've always been come with some hesitation or with a, I have to absolutely shoot this at this moment or it's going to be a shot clock violation. Like, he's never been a willing three-point shooter. There's a couple times tonight where the ball got, kicked to him at the top of the key, and there was no hesitation, there was no hitch, there was no pump fake. Blake just pulled, and he knocked him down. I think that's a aspect of Blake's game that we're going to see a whole lot more this season. He's never been a high-volume three-point shooter, to say the least. In 35 games last year, he only attempted 18. So he's shooting about a half a three a game, one every two games. In 2014, 2015, he only shot 25 threes in 67 games. So this has never been a big part of his game, but he has the range now. This is a shot he should be comfortable shooting. He's extended his range out to 19, 20 feet. It's really not that more of a step to step out a couple extra feet and knock it down. The stroke is good. He has the range now. If you're a great mid-range shooter, it shouldn't be that difficult to step out and become a pretty solid three-point shooter, especially because defenses are going to give that to Blake whenever he wants it. So now, if you're the Clippers, you have Chris Paul, who can obviously knock down threes, J.J. Redick, last year's best three-point shooter in the league, and if you have Blake knocking down a few, taking a couple a game, now the offense, it's so much more spread out. Maybe you get defenders closing out on Blake a little bit, and now the center of the floor is just wide open. I don't think Blake's going to shoot maybe not even 100 threes this year, but one a game, 80, 90 total on the year. I could see it. I could see it. I think he'll put up a three a game this season, because there's going to be opportunities where that ball comes to him, and if he's been feeling it from mid-range like he was tonight, why not step out? Why not try and hit that three? So Blake, I gave him an A-. This was a really good game from him. There isn't a whole lot he could have improved. You know what? No minus. We'll give him an A. Blake's Blake Griffin gets an A. So that wraps up your grades. CP3, B+. Felton, A++. Austin Rivers, a C. DeAndre, a B. Blake Griffin, an A. Doc was pretty forthcoming in the post-game presser from what was aired on TV. He was asked about Blake, and he said he thought he played Blake a little too much. He played him for 10 straight minutes, and he said, quote, "I don't like that ever for him." It's understandable that Doc might have a little bit of regret playing Blake for 10 straight minutes in preseason on the second half of a back-to-back, as we've already discussed. But as he explained, it's kind of easy to lose track of Blake when he's playing so well out there. It's not like you think, as a coach, I need to get that guy out of there when he's making all these great plays and looking perfectly fine. So give Doc a pass on that one. The 36 minutes for Ray Felton, maybe not so much of a pass, but give him a pass for playing Blake 10 straight minutes. He also said post-game that Austin Rivers, when talking about the small lineup, that Austin can guard ones and twos and threes. Great. That just feels... I'm gonna stay away from that one. I'm just going to let it sit there. Austin Rivers can guard ones and twos and threes. All right. So the next great wing defender for the Clippers, Austin Rivers, should be getting invited to the U.S. team any day now. A couple other notes I had here. Norman Powell is really ridiculously good. I wanted to write that down. He's a San Diego guy. Went to Lincoln High School down here. Really good defender and athlete. And Toronto, man, very quietly has put together one of the best bench backcourts in basketball. Say that three times fast. Best bench backcourts. Oh, that's actually not that hard. They got Corey Joseph. They got Norman Powell. Two really good defenders. A nice little mix there. Jared Solinger is now with them to score. He didn't play tonight. Neither did Kyle Lowry for the Raptors. But I like what Toronto's doing there. They got some nice young talent. A lot of good defenders at a lot of different spots. They're going to be good again. I still think they're one pretty big piece away from truly contending with Cleveland and being like a legitimate title contender. But there's nothing wrong with being the next team up. You never know what injuries are going to hit. You never know when teams are going to disband. It's just always a good idea to be there. Like, the Rockets went to the Western Conference Finals 2 years ago. They weren't a Western Conference Finals team. Based on talent and how they played, that was not a Western Conference Finals team. But everything broke right for them, and they ended up there. And maybe a few more breaks, and they're in the NBA Finals. It's not that crazy to think that Toronto could be a Finals team if something happens to LeBron or Kyrie gets hurt. Or, you know, there's a lot of scenarios that could break their way. So it's not the worst thing to be in the hunt. Clippers fans might not fully agree with that because they've been in the hunt for the last six seasons and nothing's really come out of it. But it's good to extend your window as far as you possibly can. Getting a little off track here, talking about the Raptors. Let's get to Ralph's quote of the night. Ralphie boy, love it. I had two contenders. They showed a clip from the Clippers scrimmage at UC Irvine where DeAndre Jordan made the rookies do a dance-off. Bryce Johnson versus Diamond Stone. Bryce busted out some moves. I kind of wish he would have, like, taken it old school with the original running man and, like, maybe had someone do, like, the kid and play dance with him or, like, the sprinkler. Something along those lines. He didn't, though. He kept it new. Did a pretty good job. Diamond Stone refused to dance, and Ralph's comment after that clip of Diamond Stone just doing a tiny little dance and then running away, he says, "How can a guy named Diamond Stone not know how to dance?" Which is hilarious because, first off, the name Diamond Stone is absurd. And yes, he should know how to dance. You are correct, Ralph. The other quote that Ralph had, it was a close second. They were talking about Corey Joseph's three-point percentage and how it dipped in his first year moving to Toronto. And he said, "Is the line further back in Canada?" Gosh, Ralph, the little one-liners. You are the king of them. That's it for today's show. We're going to wrap it up. Again, Clippers win. Get their first preseason win of the year, 104-98 over the Raptors. The next game, they got a nice long break, which is probably why Doc extended the minutes just a little bit longer than he may in usual situation. The Clippers don't play again until Monday, where they host the Utah Jazz, who coincidentally they will have a season opener against. The real season opener again. So this is a little preview for them. Monday, October 10th at Staples Center at 7:30 against the Utah Jazz. We'll have a recap for that one. Check back with us in the meantime. We'll have shows every day, Monday through Friday. That's the beautiful part of the Locked On Podcast Network. It's your team every day. Thanks for listening, everyone. If you have any questions for me, comments, you can email me at fosterdj3@gmail.com or hit me up on Twitter at FoxSportsFoster. Thanks to our sponsor, SeatGeek. All right, we're going to get out of here. We will catch you tomorrow.